Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th man, John Inch. Ice cream is awesome, young lady. We have to buy it again. Oh, we're on the air. Yeah, you know, after dinner, if you don't eat your dinner around here, I raised four kids and a cat that have been taught that if you don't eat your dinner, you don't get a treat. And tonight, the ice cream was, how do they say it nowadays? Off the hook. In the plate, but it was off the hook. Speaking of off the hook, we've got an interesting draft day tomorrow. We have a young lad named Quinn Smith who unfortunately tested positive for a banned substance in the Canadian Football League. And it could cause him to fall down the draft ladder, maybe a round or two, hopefully not more. You know, he, as we discussed last week, he gave the standard answer, or one of the standard answers. There's a few standard answers, and one of those standard answers is mea culpa, and mea culpa, please forgive me. I think his, fit under that category. And then there's the other categories that sometimes rear their ugly head, and I refer to ugly head because the first thing they say is, I had no idea. You know, and it's not my fault. Now, he claims to not have any idea, but he said it was his fault. That's the difference, okay? So before we have a debate about what this young man said and how, you know, well, how apologetic he is for what happened and, you know, the implications are severe in some cases in some teams' minds and in other teams maybe not so much. But, you know, the CFL draft is all about, well, there's a phrase that was created a while back. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of the phrase because it implies less than stellar. And anything that describes a CFL player less than stellar, to me, you know, well, it doesn't matter. So maybe I shouldn't even talk about it. At the end of the day, all you have to do is go to CFL.ca. We always recommend that when it comes to our football fix. They do a marvelous job on CFL.ca. Jamie Dunk is there, and you can see their picks for the draft. We won't bore you with all the, you know, the specific names and stuff. We could. You know, the draft is set up. You'll see which teams are drafting in which slot. And there's even a nice list of draft picks. And if you want to understand or hope to understand and sort of get a sense of how the players will be dispersed among the league, one extra team this year, of course, the Ottawa, used to be Rough Riders. Now they are a name I'm getting used to, the Red Blacks. And I like that name because now I refer to myself when it comes to any sports as a Red White, which coincidentally are the colors of our flag. And for those of you that aren't aware, the Canadian Football League is Canadian. It's there in the name. And for those of you that don't know that I'm Canadian, I've just admitted that to you, and it is a moment of pride for me to say that I am Canadian this one day after Mother's Day. This is the mother of my country. This is my mother country, and I'm very proud to be Canadian. And I'm also very proud of the American players that come to this league. Now, the draft has very little to do with American players, but a lot of the Canadian players that are drafted do play in the NFL, have been drafted as recently as a couple of days ago to the NFL, and a lot of these players that are being drafted by Canadian teams here in the CFL as Canadians play in college football in the U.S. So the first and foremost thing to suggest is that the CFL is a North American league in the sense of where they draw their players. There are, you know, there are Canadian positions that are of value to Canadian Football League teams, you know, like line, you know, the offensive linemen, that kind of thing. There are some questions in the draft whether teams will be drafting, you know, prototypically Canadian, the guys that play the regular positions. One guy that took a long time to get drafted was Andre Drury. And of course, I only mentioned him because he's an Argo, and of course I'm an Argo fan, so, you know, we got to throw the Argos in every so we got to throw them a bone, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, the Double Blue drafted him, and they drafted him way down the chart. So, you know, that in itself, and there have been numerous players who have not been drafted highly who became very useful players in the Canadian Football League, and that is what the Canadian draft is all about. It's about drafting Canadian players, some of which may play positions that, you know, wide receiver, running back, linebacker, you know, they're not all offensive linemen. So when people talk about your regular, you know, even the NFL is stereotyping us, man. You know, they go, well, we need an offensive lineman. Where should we look? We'll go to Fresno. No, I hear if you go up to Saskatchewan, they got a few good ones there. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that goes on. You know, but, hey, guys like Drury have broken the mold. And other guys in this league, even Getzlaf, you know, he got his laugh a little late in the round. And he didn't even hang around Canada to do it. He stayed with his brother. So, you know, the draft is a very interesting situation, which will be covered by, thank you, the great network of TSN. That's right, the Toronto Sports, I mean, the Sports Network, sorry, just a slip of the tongue, being an Argo fan again, I keep having to remind people that, you know, TSN is the Sports Network. It is not the Toronto Sports Network, even though some people think that's the case. Well, you know, when you have a lot of people here, and they can draw franchises like the Toronto Raptors and, of course, you know, major league teams in this town, then, of course, you're going to see a lot of Toronto. But when it comes to football, really, I mean, you know, like in hockey, what's the capital of hockey? It's not New York. If you talk to the NHL, they tell you it's New York. They tell you it's Los Angeles. They tell you it's Chicago. It isn't. It's Toronto. When it comes to football, everybody thinks that Toronto's the be-all and end-all of football. And all one has to do, I'll only say BC because Christopher's here, but in seriousness and in honesty, when it comes to football, you know, the breadbasket of football is Central Canada. It has been that way for a very long time. And for those of you that will challenge me with the great teams in Quebec and the great teams in Ontario and, of course, the great teams in BC, you will be 100% correct in assuming that your area is the boss. But I'm going to say it as a neutral person, as a person of Toronto, born and raised here. I can honestly say that some of the best players in football do come out of Saskatchewan. And I'm not saying that to brag on Saskatchewan. I'll leave that to Kelly. I'm saying it because, you know, Central Canada gets very little attention in the North American sports world. And to me, that's the main reason why Central Canada, and when I say Central Canada, please, no cards and letters, I'm not referring to Ontario and Quebec, because when I look at Central Canada and I look at Canada and I go, where's the center of Canada? No, it's not in the middle of the Great Lakes. It's the breadbasket of this country, the great farmlands that exist here, the plains of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, you know, before you get to the hills of Alberta and the great mountains and the city on the island in BC and the great expanse that we have that is Ontario and Quebec, while very relevant. In this case, I'm just trying to make a point. And there, well, put it this way. As much respect as it may sound like I'm not giving everywhere else, think of the East Coast of Canada and some of the great football players that have come from there. A lot of great athletes have come from there. So, you know, this is truly a Canadian sport. And the draft this year is going to yield a couple of great Canadian players who will become fixtures on their rosters on the teams that either pick them or don't use them, and then they become somebody else's player. Regardless, eventually, the players that will be drafted today, there's quite a few gems that are in there that will help a team win a Grey Cup, win a championship, improve their season, and that's what this draft's all about. And that's, you know, it is one of the cornerstones of hope for our CFL franchises. So I've said my piece as far as the draft's concerned, and why don't we start bringing in the usual suspects. Like, I see a message from Christopher Jones. Let's see. Let me make sure I see this, because Monday's show should start at 7. What, are you losing your mind? Since when would you want the show to start at 7? What is it, your lunch break or something? Well, let's start with Mike Townsend. Hello, Mr. Townsend. How are you doing, sir?
All right. What's up, Frank? How you doing, bro?
Good. I shouldn't say anything, but I'm going to anyway, because it is something that is important to all of us, and I'll mention it a little later when everybody's in the room. I've got a little bit of an announcement to make. It's not a big deal. It's just a wonderful opportunity for those of us that love the CFL and also love the CFL is the greatest football in the world, and of course this program as well, which is a contributor to that end, to bragging about the CFL and the wonders of it, of the league. So how is your week going? The truck driving okay? No incidents to concern ourselves with?
Well, you know what, Frank? I do got some good news, man. I brought my last student in. He took his driving test, took his written test. He passed the flying colors. So there again, your boy Mike Townsend put out another good truck driver on the road to start making some money.
All right.
So it was a good weekend for me. You know what I'm saying?
I am glad. I'm deeply pleased that you are very happy, and you should be, and you should also be proud. Remember, there's that article that I finally did read. And I have to tell you, upon wonders, Mike, you are quite a gentleman. Well-liked,
yes,
in your
Frank,
community.
I try to be, man.
Well-liked in your community.
I try to be.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I try to be.
And congratulations. But, and, you know, new blood in the trucking industry doesn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, man. And you know what? I'd like to give a shout-out to my mom. I know she's not listening. Give a shout-out to my mom, because my mom raised me to be the type of person, and I give all shouts-out to her. She the one molded me the way I am right now.
Good for her. And you know what? Mothers are the greatest gift to man, literally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And woman.
Oh, yeah. Other than that, man, how was your weekend?
Well, I had an interesting weekend, but we'll talk about my weekend after we give everybody else a chance, and we'll start with Christopher Jones, who I assume has a pipe beside him, and he's sitting beside Mayor Ford, because what the heck's with the 7 o'clock start?
Is he there?
Yeah, this is Manasseh. What's going
on?
Oh,
I thought it was Chris. I thought it was Christopher.
Oh, no.
Hey, what's up, Manasseh?
Oh, okay, Manasseh, my apologies. Like I said, the name doesn't come up, just numbers come up when you guys call. Yeah, just my bad. So, Manasseh, I ask you the question. How was your weekend? How was Mother's Day for you?
Yeah, it was great, man. Other than terrible weather we've been having, everything else has been fantastic.
You've been having terrible weather. We've been having sunny and hot. We had the best. I think it was the best day we've had thus far this year. Beautiful. It was beautiful. And my wife's roses bloomed and everything. It was great.
Nice.
I'm sorry to hear about the weather, but I'm sure the family interaction was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Definitely.
All right. Let me welcome
Chris said he's going to be a little late because he's moving horses.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I see now. He says Monday. Well, he says here the only message I got from him. Let me see. Monday show should start at 7. Okie dokie. Okie dokie.
I think he meant 7 Pacific time, right? So that'd be like 9 o'clock for you.
10.
Ten for you. Oh wow. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 10 for me, and that means the show wouldn't end till midnight. We might do that. We might go back to that. Yeah, we might go back to that if it works for everybody. I know that you're on Central Time. Mike and I are on East Coast time. Mike changes. You know his time changes because he keeps moving. He just can't stand still. His wheels keep rolling. Now with us we bring in Kelly Bale, and you know. I never said this before, but it all makes sense now. Of course you're in Saskatchewan. Your name is Kelly Bale.
That's right. You know, I actually had an ex-girlfriend, and her last name was Nickel. And I rolled up to meet her old man for the first time, and he kind of chuckled at my last name. And I said, hey, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that one.
Boy, he jumped into that one, didn't he? How was your weekend?
He did.
And we always hear about the little one. We always hear about your young laddie and how active he is for a three-year-old. And, you know, how he goes everywhere and does everything. But we never hear about your wife. You know, Mother's Day just went by. How did you treat her right?
Not married, but Davey's mother is still a very big part of my life, even though we don't live together. But definitely spent some time with her and, made her feel like she should. She's a fantastic mother to my son, and couldn't really ask for anything more.
Ah, so you have one of those new age relationships, the ones that we're learning to appreciate, the ones we're learning to appreciate.
It's a unique situation for sure, but, he's already inquired, and, you know, I made sure that I was prepared anyways, and that's all you can do as a parent is prepare for the future and you know, the questions they may have, whether you're together or not, you know?
Yep. Well, I hope you know that I appreciate you and others who raise their children alone. I think I posted that, and I've always believed it, and I wanted to give a shout out to them as well, because we always pay attention to the majority, you know, and the majority, while it's getting narrower, if you will, of the regular, regular households of father and mother, you know, married and all that stuff. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying it's not what it's all about. So, you know, what matters, in the family unit is how well the children are looked after. That is the most important thing, and we need to appreciate that children around the world are taken care of by different kinds of family units, and let's all respect every possible family unit that we can see under the sun. And that's why I included the men as well, the single men, because I think single men are just as much mothers as mothers are. Single single fathers.
What do you do in the case where two homosexual men are married and one takes the mother role? That's a man, and it's his day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's their day. It's all about the children. It's all about the children. Okay, I don't want to get into politics. Okay. We're getting into a territory. We're getting too political here, and we're getting too... All I wanted to say... I tried to say it as carefully as I could because I didn't want to raise that tenor that was going to come up. What I say, and I'll repeat, and I hope you can at least accept this, Manasseh, is that all children need to be raised by families. And let's not talk about the family units. Let's just say thank you to those that do that, that help raise our children so that they become good people, in turn good citizens, and even for the economy, good workers, if that's possible. So, yeah, let's move on and let's talk about anybody. First of all, is there something that you guys want to talk about? Manasseh, we can talk about the draft as we move on. You got something you want
to
talk about?
Draft or just anything? Yeah, I don't know if you guys the league basically fined Maurice Price, the receiver from Calgary at number 17, for his tweet about the Michael Sam, the gay player that got drafted. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's on TSN's page, but he basically, you know, said something to the effect of, because of his faith and what he believes, he couldn't accept a player like that in his locker room or on his team. And the league came down on him pretty hard, and so did the Stamps. So the thing I'm trying to figure out is why is it got to the point where if you express your opinion on something now, you get fined for it? I don't understand.
Well,
it's not like
I'll take that one first.
He just said his personal beliefs.
Okay, by virtue of that very word, his personal beliefs. In the locker room, it's not a place where one should feel free to express their personal beliefs. And I don't mean that in a shut up, don't say anything mode. I'm saying in a reasonable, understanding, mutually beneficial situation, which is harmony in the dressing room. There's no need to have like a debate, like just about happened. There are certain topics of discussion that aren't necessary in football. We don't need to talk. Like the fact that he came out and said he was, I just think that's too bad that he has to come out and say it. You know, I feel bad that he has to say that. I'm hoping for a day where someone doesn't have to talk about their sexual preference in any way when it comes to football. Football is football. Sexual preference is another thing. It's like deciding to have a conversation right now to decide who the Hamilton Tiger Cats, the Ottawa Rough Riders, and, of course, the Ottawa Red Blacks are going to vote in the Ontario election. Just not necessary, not a good idea. It's only opinion. And thank you very much. Leave it at the door. That's what I'm going to say to what you're saying. All right? It's not. Okay. There's no soapbox in the dressing room. There's no preaching in the. There's prayers in the dressing room, but they're very wide. You know, they're all about positive and not the negative part of religion, where religion starts saying this is right and this is wrong. We got to stay away from that, Manasseh. Otherwise, football teams go down the drain. Because
right.
It takes all kinds
to
make
a
football team.
Right, that's a
but
great point. I just want to say, like, you can take what you're saying and put it on the flip side, right? Like, notice how people get upset when they say things like, oh, you're pushing your religion on us, or you're pushing your whatever your ideology may be on us. Like, people don't like you imposing your ideas, right? And we always hear that people want to separate, you know, church and state, whatever it may be, right? And people get upset about that, and I agree. I respect that. But what I noticed on the flip side is we're getting this secular sort of mindset and trying to get imposed on us, to where it's one thing to say, basically we're being forced to all have to accept homosexuality as okay and nothing wrong with it. Like, it's getting to the point where it's not about what we think. They're like, I can't explain it, but it just seems like there's this pressure being put on
through
the media.
I understand it. I understand
to say
exactly
that being gay
saying.
Is perfectly normal and there's nothing wrong with it at all. And now it's like, if you say anything against that, you're labeled a bigot, you're labeled some type of hater, they try to make you look like a racist.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's like,
hang on, Christopher, hang on a second. You're feeling disenfranchised, right? You're feeling as though your opinion means nothing or your feelings don't count, right?
Well, no, not at all. That's not my issue. My thing is they're being hypocritical. In which
they're not being hypocritical. What they are is they're saying we are all disenfranchised. There is
like a gay person has less value. I'm not saying that. What they're trying to they get mad at Christians for imposing our religion.
What you're saying is they're imposing their
ideology on us. And
I understand
that. They're trying to act like they're not.
Exactly. What you're saying is it's either or. Well, the existence of a guy on a football team who has a sexual preference that he's not ashamed of, and him coming out and saying, look, this is what I am. I just want you to know up front. I know it might cause problems. I just don't want, you know, it is what I am, and I'm doing it because I want others like me to know that it's okay to be this way. Now, for you to suggest that rains on your parade, my parade too, because I'm a Christian too, and I know what I'm supposed to believe if I toe the line. But you know what? At the end of the day, we are people first, and then we're football players next, or football fans next, and then you know, for a few seconds before the game, we get to say, thank you, God, for putting me on this earth and giving me this ability. And then it's over. Then that's it. And then the game has to start. We don't need the national anthem and a prayer through the whole game. We don't need it in the dressing room for the whole time they're in the dressing room. What we need is to play football and leave personal preferences at home, which is also like politics. Now, Christopher, you can jump in. I said my piece.
Okay. The difference here is the person who said this on the Calgary team, it is not relevant to him.
Right.
It's not in his dressing room. So what he said was socially unacceptable. It's quote-unquote, and they like to use the word homophobic. Homophobic is not a true word because a phobia is a fear. Nobody is afraid of homosexuals. You're just an asshole.
Okay? All right. Watch the language,
because
it's
plain and simple, because, you know, you're either there's no real reason for this. He does not need to say this being a Calgary Stampeder. It's not relevant to him. It's not even in his
point
league.
And that's
he's not going to play football with this guy.
There's your point. And Manasseh, I give you a couple of seconds I think you made your point. I think we all understand where we all stand, and it's irrelevant when it comes to the game of football. And the important thing to remember, is he's a football player. If he can play the game, he gets a chance to play. And if the league rules suggest that a guy is not verboten based on his sexual or religious preference, then that's the league's choice. That's the league's choice. And, of course, any choice they make is so societal. And society is such that it makes decisions that sometimes we, even here in this, the five of us that are sitting right now here about to converse about football, we can all agree on something. But you'd be surprised how many people out there wouldn't agree with what we're saying. And, you know, we saw.
I don't think we've ever agreed on anything.
No, I know, but you know what I'm getting at, Christopher. I don't want to get into this. I don't want to get into this because this is counterproductive, and it's not about football. It's about, now we're talking a whole different thing.
It's about football, unfortunately, and it's been made about football.
No, it's never been made about football. It's never been made about football. It's not about football.
You got to remember. The reason he tweeted was when Michael Sam was drafted, they showed the video of him kissing his boyfriend when they were celebrating it, and the question came up, should that be on network TV? And that's what
That's why he
responded. Have they
ever shown a guy kiss his girlfriend after getting drafted?
Right, yep. But, you know, the question was basically, were people comfortable with seeing that? Because some people, frankly, are just not comfortable with seeing two men kiss each other like that. That's just...
I'm not comfortable with it, but you know what? There's a lot of things I'm uncomfortable with that I just got to get used to because, quite frankly, it's 2014. You know, I'm an old guy.
I'm just saying that's why he tweeted what he did.
Yeah, and that's cool.
Right.
He can tweet whatever. I don't even want to discuss what he tweeted. I don't want to perpetuate, it is homophobic. People are afraid that maybe they'll catch the disease. I'm quoting. I'm paraphrasing. It's a terrible thing. And listen, can we at least agree on one thing? If the guy can play football and all he does is affect the game on the field, and goes about doing his job, and his sexual preference or religious preference or whatever his preference has to be doesn't enter into the equation of how the game ends up, can we agree at least that just let him play?
Yep.
I'm confused as to what the difference it is with him being in the locker room or having a female reporter in the locker room.
Oh, Chris, now you're getting You know what? There are female reporters in the locker room now. There are male reporters in the locker room.
I know.
It doesn't matter. At the end, my wife hates when I say that all the time. The most important thing to remember is that the two words that I love and enjoy using because they mean so much to me, mutual respect. And mutual respect to me is give as you would receive or receive as you would give. Okay? So let's stop the baloney because really what this guy is after football or before football has no relevance whatsoever to how he plays the game. All right? It has no relevance because, and I'm going to say this, there are women hockey players who've played in men's leagues and they play and they enjoy the game and they do whatever they're going to do. And there are people who complain about that as well. So it's not even about sexual preference. It's about people unwilling to accept change. It's just that simple. So,
it,
you know, we're going
to
have nine...
to my thing. It's not homophobic. It's you're being a...
Yeah, I know, but don't use that, those, that kind of language. I really don't need that kind of language. You know, okay? Well, let's try to keep it clean, and let's try to keep it mature and adult, okay? And just because, Manasseh, you feel that way doesn't preclude you from having an opinion and doesn't... I'm not saying you're wrong, okay?
I respect that opinion.
I'm not saying he's wrong, and I'm not saying anyone's wrong
here. No, neither am I.
I'm just saying, can we get along? Can't we get along?
If I could just add one thing, Christopher had a great point on Facebook. He talked about being in Subway and a guy in front of him ordered a particular sandwich, and it was one that Chris personally didn't like, and he talked about how it's the same way when it comes to morality or people's sexual preference. It's just whatever preference they have, that's their own.
Yeah.
And I totally understand where he's coming from.
Good.
And I think for Chris, I just want to make it clear from the thing that separates people who have some type of religious belief or believe in God is it's just the foundation of morality. If there is a God who defines what's right and wrong, that's why people who are Christian hold to the idea that homosexuality is wrong regardless of what people tell them. Because they say
unfortunately,
God is the definer of
that. I get that. I get that.
But if there is no God and it's all relative, your point with the Subway thing is absolutely true, and there's no difference, and there's nothing to distinguish.
But even if there is
subjective.
A God, even if there is a God, as an okay Christian that I am, in my opinion, even if there is a God, the morality of an individual is set by that individual. I don't put any stock in people using religion as a shield for their actual beliefs, okay? So that's why I don't want religion involved in this, and it isn't a religious discussion.
You missed my point there, Frank. Right.
It's a personal
The point is that if there is a mind prior to the human mind who defines morality, then it's what's true is true independent of what you and I think. The point is if there is no God or if God has no care in human morality or what we consider right and wrong, then your point is true. It's all subjective and it doesn't matter.
You're bringing up God, and God is a personal preference. It is a personal belief. It is a personal thing. All right? So let's not be personal. Let's be, you know, what word am I looking for? Let's be a group of people
Inclusive.
Yeah, well, let's be inclusive. That's my desire. That's my desire to be inclusive. I think we should all be inclusive, you know. But, you know, that's my opinion. I understand that. It's my opinion.
Go ahead. I'll give you a perfect example. When the Nazis were on trial after World War II, Kelly hasn't...
Let's give Kelly one shot at this, and then that way everybody except Mike will have had a comment, and then we'll get Mike, and then we'll move on.
I've been listening to both... Christopher and Manasseh's comments, and just thinking both of them have very valid points, and I come from a Catholic upbringing, so I know exactly what Manasseh's talking about, and I also have kind of drifted away from that upbringing a little bit, not in a bad way, but anyways, so I understand, I've become a little more willing to accept people and inclusive, as we said. But the reason why I actually started the conversation was as a segue to Michael Sam. And what I meant, I heard Manasseh scoff a bit, and he was right to do so, but what I meant was whether or not you agree with it. You know what I mean? Like, when I
agree
made
with
my
what?
Comments,
with him being able to play? With
no,
him being able
I made
to play
my comment,
or the comment
about Mother's Day and homosexual couples being... the roles that they play in their relationship if they're raising a child. And,
look, we
and,
define
you know,
a
what
mother
I meant
as
certain... was whether you
no,
agree
you're
with
you're fine,
it or
Kelly.
Not.
Everybody understands what you meant. Don't worry about it. You're just saying a mother is a mother regardless of their sex, regardless
exactly.
of their religious preference, regardless of whether they work during the day or work during the night. It doesn't matter. A mother is a carekeeper. Yep. You know, the image that we have of a mother has changed in our minds, for those of us that are trying to be open to it. But still, even the original image, what is the original image of a mother? Taking care of their child. They get hurt. they're the ones that hold them. They get cut, they're the ones that bandage them. They have a bad day, the kid has a bad day at school, mother's the first one. I'm talking about old-fashioned image here, okay, folks? But what's happened
so,
since the 50s...
Are you okay with what they're doing right now?
Let's keep it on track right now. Let's see what Mike says, and let's get going back to football.
Right.
Because we're off track, and... Mike,
go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
Speak up.
You got something
to add? The only thing I want to say is I'm eating some very good sliced apples right now, and I'm ready to talk football.
There you go.
Well
done,
my friend. Okay, let's talk football.
Okay, let's talk football. All right. So it appears that the brothers are splitting in Winnipeg. The Muambas are splitting up. Winnipeg has released.
They've been split up for a while. Hanok went south.
Yeah, then they're both gone, actually.
Yeah, now they're both gone. You're right. Now they're both gone.
I think Manasse was the one that made a pretty good point on Facebook. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's one of those things where, I think Cauchy was around because Hinock was around, and, maybe with Hinock leaving, that just provided the moment for them to finally make a long-term decision on Cauchy. But it's so weird because he was in the starting lineup at times last year, and, mm-hmm. They're so deep that they can give up this starting Canadian.
They signed Donovan Alexander from Edmonton, and they got him at a smaller contract, so...
it's not much of an upgrade.
Right.
And the only thing that's going to happen is these guys are going to get signed to an NFL roster. That's the only thing that's going on. A lot of them asked for their
actually
to get the NFL tryouts.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking that he might end up going back to BC because I thought BC didn't, J.R. LaRose didn't do that good of a job in his replacement, and I think the Lions would be open to bringing him back. That's why I posed that question on Facebook, and I think that's what's going to end up happening in the next week or two if he'll be back with the Lions.
So you think if they do, you think J.R. LaRose is going to be the odd man out?
No, I think they'll keep him, but he'll just be a backup. Like, I just think anyone who watched the Lions, LaRose always had pass interference calls whenever, anytime they went deep against him. So I think they'd rather have Mwamba because he's a little faster and a little bit more athletic.
Yep, exactly.
So, Kelly,
you
didn't think he was that much of a D-grade, if you will, than the new option.
No, he's, my third option if I have to take somebody. He's kind of like, what's his name, Saskatchewan there a few years ago, Arabin Justin. That's who I would liken him to, like a guy who's really, really on the bubble. Like, very on the bubble, like, barely in town.
There are other players that are getting released. What players do you see that have been released, guys, that may turn up again?
Oh, Brandon Isaac.
Brandon Isaac, exactly.
Why Brandon Isaac, in your opinion, Manasseh?
Oh, he's just a stud. He's a thoroughbred horse.
Yep.
Why do you think Hamilton let him go?
Oh, because they had Craig Butler and a couple of younger linebackers. And he's a little older, too. I think he's about 30, 31, and Hamilton signed a lot of young 20-something. So that's how it goes in football. If you're younger and cheaper.
What are the odds of me cheering him in Toronto this year?
I hope very,
very
high.
Good.
Got a relationship there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, very good. It's not like you wouldn't be able to help the defense.
He's not going to Edmonton and joining Chris Jones. That's a guarantee.
Isaac's only 29 years old, Manasseh.
Oh, he's 29?
He's only 29. And he just turned 29.
I think? Like, they released him because they had Craig Butler. And it was just a numbers game, man. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Somebody had to go, and he was the odd man out.
If Saskatchewan decides to play an import in place of Butler, like, I could see them having a serious look at Isaac. But I'm pretty sure the conventional wisdom is to try and replace Butler with a Canadian.
Yeah.
Or, he might show up in Winnipeg or Ottawa.
I'd love to see him in Winnipeg. That'd be great, man.
There's very few teams out there that don't need him.
Right.
Thank you, Chris.
Edmonton,
there you go.
I mean, as a linebacker, I mean, who doesn't need him? BC? Who else?
Edmonton.
I think that's it.
Sherritt.
Yeah, Edmonton, yeah.
I
right.
mean, come on. There's 9 teams in the league. He's good for 75% of them. And
yep,
look at the – what's his name? I can't even pronounce his first name. Ornino Jones, OJ?
Oh, Andrea,
yeah.
Andrea Jones, the receiver.
Andrea.
Yeah.
Andrea. Yeah.
I'm not good with those silly-ass names. Oops, sorry, Frank.
Oh, jeez.
he could go to Saskatchewan.
He didn't even notice.
I mean, he had a great year in 2012 when George Cortez was the offensive coordinator, so he might – I don't know, maybe. I guess the receivers are kind of deep in Saskatchewan, but he's a little up there in age, too, but he's not that fast. That's the one thing about his game. He's more of a possession receiver, and I don't know if that's what the Riders would be looking for. But
did he not play a little bit of tailback on Andrea Jones when he first came into the league?
No, he was primarily a receiver. He was number 89
okay.
for those that don't know in Hamilton. But
oh yeah,
he's sort of like
right.
he's like a 5'10", 5'11". He's not that tall, and he's not that fast. So I don't know where he would actually go. But he's got great hands, and he's a good special teamer. So he might find a spot.
For sure.
Hey, y'all know what? You know who might turn up in the CFL if he don't get a NFL contract, which I don't think he will because they are solidified at the quarterback position. I'm gonna tell you what name to watch out for. Y'all ready? Wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Shaw, University of South Carolina.
Is he a quarterback?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
nice.
Sir.
So, was he playing in South Carolina last year, or has he been out for a while?
No, he was playing last year.
Oh, okay.
He didn't get drafted, and he was like one of the best top quarterbacks in the SEC.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought
right.
Martinez was still quarterback in South Carolina. I don't know. He's Nebraska. Mm-mm. What am I talking about? My bad.
Yeah.
I got confused.
The other quarterback they had in South Carolina a couple years ago, I can't think of that guy's name, but he was supposed to get a CFL contract, but I don't know what happened with that situation. But be on the lookout for Connor Shaw, man. Strong arm, CFL prototype quarterback.
Wow.
Does anybody got his right?
He'd be good for the league. He'd be good for the league.
Yeah, it's really tough to find out if anybody's got neg rights on a player, especially one that's so recently separated from college. You can find out over time if you're on the inside track, but really tough to find out who the neg lists are these days.
It's really too bad
right.
they're not posted.
Yeah,
that's it. It's too bad. And I'm going to tell you guys, with the NFL draft, even though they were drafting players, do you know they were signing guys to free agent contracts during the draft?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some guys,
for sure.
Some guys had signed Saturday. Some guys had signed Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday. I mean, they were signing guys, man. You know, they used to wait till after the draft was over to sign free agents. But they wasn't doing it. They were doing it as
that
the draft
night.
Was going on. Yep,
for sure. Well, I guess those players, like, legally would have to have been draft ineligible, like declared themselves ineligible and just thought, I have a better chance signing a unsigned free agent, an undrafted free agent deal.
They might have been just simple free agents, too, right?
Yeah, I don't know,
yeah,
because the Browns picked up 11 undrafted free agents. UDFAs is what they were calling them. And
yeah,
and that means guys out of college that didn't get drafted, essentially.
Yep.
And like
yep.
Mike said, some of them were probably inked by Saturday, you know?
Well, what happens if they get drafted then?
In
the
know.
Event that
that's
all of a sudden they get drafted,
that's a good question.
So are they signing a contract in lieu of
and
them not being drafted? Yeah, obviously.
Probably
you know the league's going to tear up the contract if another team drafts them,
yeah.
right? And then
yeah,
essentially
they sign a
contract, and then the validity of that contract is established by whether they are or are not drafted.
Right.
In the available rounds, you know. And,
that's
yeah, they're just getting
yeah,
a jump on which players won't
today,
make it.
So.
Yeah, they're
yeah,
just getting a jump on
the
players.
Today.
And then it becomes
And it's going to be a lot of later round quarterbacks that have been drafted that's going to be CFL eligible. I can name one quarterback right now, man, that I think that'll do good in the CFL is Taj Boyd, man, out of Clemson. I don't see why the Jets drafted him when they already had the guy from USC and the other guy, Geno Smith, and then you just signed Michael Vick to a lucrative deal.
Yeah, he could be a guy getting cut in training camp and could maybe come down or come up to the CFL.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Be amazing. Yep. He's kind of like a wildcat guy almost, isn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, to a degree, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of those type of guys in the CFL. Like, you look in Edmonton, there's Jakori Harris from who used to play in Miami. There's like almost every team has one of those guys in their depth chart at quarterback. But I think if you look at the CFL, it's shifting more to pocket passers who can kind of scramble or pure pocket passers. You know, they're sort of that myth that a Doug Flutie-type QB is what they want in the CFL, but I don't think scrambling quarterbacks do that well over time. They usually end up suffering, getting hurt, or they get exposed. And, you know, Casey Prentice is a perfect example.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't use him as an example. Because he didn't really get hurt. He just got his ego in the way.
But I'm saying, like, his game itself has got exposed. Like, I remember the East Final when BC was playing at Montreal, how Montreal's defense was just toying with him, and they would send blitzes on one side to get him to run out, and then they would set a trap and then have guys weighing in, picking him off. I think he threw, like, three interceptions. And it just, scrambling QBs, you know, you can eventually, you can game plan and break them down. But a great pocket passer like a Lule, a Ricky Ray, Cavillo, these are the guys that have the longer careers and are able to play at a high level and give defense fits.
Yes.
No question.
How about here? I got a question from a listener, and the listener wants a comment on the Ottawa Stampeders jerseys.
No, I don't.
Ottawa Red Blacks.
I didn't say you.
Let's just not call them Stampeders. That's like wrong.
What? Like you're the only listener?
Yeah, Ottawa Stampeders.
I think
Frank did that on purpose.
Of course, he did it on purpose.
Did anybody see the jerseys? Did anybody actually see the new jerseys?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, thumbs down big time from right here, man.
I mean, keep
those all blacks with the comical red lettering. Come on, man. Good.
The colors too. It looks like Stampeders to me. I mean, you know,
They could do a BC version with, you know, shiny red, you know, numbers.
Something.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go, I mean, are we saving money here or something?
No,
that's what it looked like they did.
John, I'm a firm believer, and I believe that a lot of franchises in all the sports love the color black because it defines toughness and, or, you know, it's intimidating. The color black is intimidating.
I get it.
Awesome.
I get it, but they have to do the trim. They got to do the outline.
Right.
They got to do the numbers the same. It literally is an assembly line cheapy, okay?
Exactly.
John, you're right. They've missed an opportunity. You know,
totally.
A lot of leagues are doing stuff. Even the NFL is doing stuff with their jerseys that's far ahead of what, you know, what that looks like. They could do a 3D saw coming at you, for goodness sake.
Well, I mean, they dropped the ball. Look, Ottawa fans are going to be happy with anything they get because it's,
the first
all good to
a
them,
throwaway
right?
I think the guys here said that too, John. The first year is, you know, your jersey that, you know, everybody go, that was a mistake.
Everyone's going to leave in the closet. All right.
Yeah, you know.
Well, there'll be follow-up.
But it's not like crazy.
Yeah, whatever.
Sad is, like, even in their own city, like, their college team, the CIS team, the Carleton Ravens that just came out a year ago, they got great uniforms, and it's terrible when a college team in your own city comes out with has more creativity with their uniforms than, you know, the pro team. And they dropped the ball big time. They could have had nicer helmets, you know. I don't know. It looked like
they just went
into the cookie cutter, whatever. Look,
I don't like the ivory white. That's what it looks like. It almost clashes.
How much of it is the Reebok designers though that they work with?
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
Yeah.
But they must get some sort of direction from the franchise. I would want to have
something
to say about what it looks like.
Well, you know what? The guys, they're templates, and they get to select from a template, and there's only certain templates that are approved by CFL head office. You know what I mean? And they got to pick from the templates, and that's why you saw, like, a few years ago, Saskatchewan's jerseys were essentially the green and white version of the Calgary uniform with the patches a little bit different.
There's always
similarity.
Yeah, there's always a similarity. And then they
there's like three or four configurations that you can get. You can get an Alouette configuration, a BC Lion configuration, a Saskatchewan configuration, or a Bomber configuration. And those are like the only configurations that you can really pick from. And I think they chose the Calgary configuration or whatever.
They chose the worst one.
Yeah.
They chose the worst one.
Yeah.
Well, let's
they should have won, like, you know, we have to admit, like, Reebok hit it out the park with Toronto and Hamilton's. I love that, like, modern look. That's what Ottawa should have went with. Like, Toronto, I think, has the best look, like a classic, nothing too crazy, but it's clean. Like, that's how a uniform should look.
And the broad stripes.
Yeah.
I think and, you know, John will tell you, and John, you can pipe in. Actually, John's not a big fan of that, and I think, John, you're the one that told me that they were going for more like a New York Giants kind of look, right?
They're going with the lettering. The marketing department that they hired to decide on the A logo was from New York. They wanted to go with the so-called, you know, comparison to NY. All right, and they want to put the A on it as a letter, but it's not the same. New York is known for New York, you know. It's like putting T-O.
There's no mistaking NY. There's no mistaking NY.
No. And they thought this is the way to go, and you know, that's all I'm going to say.
What about T-Dot?
T-Dot. There you go.
Personally, I believe Ticats have the best layout on their jersey and the best look.
Don't talk about those pajamas.
You're
right, Chris. Those were
wrong.
Oh yeah, that was a mistake. Well, that was, I think, something to do with Guelph. You know, they're actually going to have a game where they look like they belong on the field. You know what I mean? With the red and black checkered field and stuff. So, I get it. That was nuts. But they still have the best layout on the jersey. I like the way their sleeves look. They got the cat on there. They got the stripes. They got the best fit. As far as the look goes, everybody else, I love my Argo colors. Everybody's going to love their own colors, but they could have done better. It's Reebok's fault, bottom line.
The first time
you don't like the Argo uniforms?
I like them. I mean, for football, I like them. You know what I mean? You can't go wrong with double blue. You just can't. You can't go wrong with that color when you turn it dark. It's a good letterhead.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But let's come on. This is not the 50s and 60s where, you know, they didn't have marketing designing firms. And really it was because of the sewing. They couldn't sew designs on. They could either go straight up and down, over and under, or do a square or circle. You know what I mean? So it's changed. And why they're sticking with it?
What would you want them to do? Like go to a boat or like?
Go to a boat logo.
Do something with the logo.
It goes with the team. In the 80s, they got the most fan support and the most merchandise sold because they went to the boat logo back then. Okay, they had the A before that for 2-3 decades, didn't do anything. Boat logo comes out, boom. Biggest marketing they ever had with the Argos
era. You know, John, these guys, we had one show one time where it seemed to me like most of them didn't understand what the Argonauts were.
No, I don't think so.
Right? Right, guys? I mean, weren't there a few of you that went, well, what the heck's an Argonaut? Right?
Well, we knew what an Argonaut was. We were just questioning why it would be a Toronto nickname. Because nothing to do with reality.
Yeah, well,
that's another story.
I told you then that it's the Argonaut Rowing Club. And that's where the boatmen came in. And then, John says...
Frank,
I want to make...
Back it
John,
up a little bit. Hold on, Frank. You got to bring it down to the A beginning. Argonaut were humongous, big effing... And I'm not going to say the word, Frank. Don't worry. Guys who would roll I mean, row across the sea. You know, the guys under who'll be doing the big rowing. That's those guys.
Plates.
That's what the Argonauts, they're sailors. You know what I'm saying? They're warriors.
Boat guys.
They sail the
boat
seas.
Guys.
They're that's what an Argonaut is.
And they
sailor.
Pull together. And they pull together. But the reason John and I and I won't
speak. The
guys
in the hull of the ship that we're paddling were slaves. The guys on the top were the Argonauts.
What era are you talking about? We're talking about Greek era,
okay.
Dude. Come
okay.
on, it's Jason and the Argonauts.
Okay.
Get it real.
Stop.
What are you
okay.
talking about?
Get
slavery.
That's what we're talking about.
John, let me have a chance to carry this ball a little bit for a second.
Go
unintended.
For it.
Okay.
Do it.
The whole point of a jersey is a jersey should. What was it like? What our buddy here, Christopher, said. How does an Argonaut in Toronto get together? So I told you there's a history here with the Argonaut Rowing Club. Okay, that's people rowing boats. Okay, not slaves. These guys were pretty well to do. In fact, they were university students. Okay, they were
right.
college students. Okay, and these people rowed. All right, so they called the team the Toronto Argos. So. Our point, and I know John agrees with me because John and I have had this, we spent too much time agreeing on this, is the 83 boat logo, the one that they had when they won the Grey Cup. When you look at that logo, A, you know it's football. B,
Hello.
You know it's guys who row boats. And if somebody says to you they're the Argonauts, they're going to go, oh, yeah, I remember that story, Jason and the Argonauts. Their mascot is Jason even, for that matter. And it's a football that looks like a boat, and then it has the Argonaut. It has the A. The A is there, but the A is part of the flag. That's
right.
And that the boat logo was one of the best logos in my mind growing up of almost. And I compare it to the Chicago Blackhawk, exactly the same. It just has. It's just definitive. It's a definitive thing. If you're not an Argo fan, I can understand. How it would not mean so much to you because you probably saw so many logos, you're confused which one they're using this year. You know, so you know, but as an Argo fan, it's my favorite logo. I love the one they have now, but like John, I agree, the A is great. It represents the Argos, but, you know, it doesn't represent football in any way. It doesn't, like, you know, when you've had the boat logo and you've had a logo that says to you, we're football, and all of a sudden now you change to a letter, you know, it's a come down. I don't know why
the team
doesn't like the boat logo. I really don't.
It's Bedford. I don't want to say his name, but anyway, Chris, let me just give you an example, okay? BC Lions have BC on their helmet, but they got the lion. It would be ridiculous that they wouldn't use
the BC
their mascot, their nickname in an imagery, okay? It'd be ridiculous if they didn't use the lion. And for us
the
not to use
the Stampeders.
John, my point, you've missed this. You're saying that the Argonaut, the strength, the power, the big people, the huge people that are rowing these boats, were not the Argonauts. They were the slaves that were in the hull. Of
oh,
the
my
Argonauts.
God.
Get anal about it, Chris. You know what? And there's no lion. There's no safari lions in B.C. either. But they use the imagery of that on there, too. So come on,
but
dude. Let's not go
cougar.
There. You know,
it's a mountain lion.
All right, so they're referring to the mountain lion that they have
that's,
as
that's
them.
Getting heady.
That's getting
heady.
So
and
we're
home in British Columbia.
We're talking
slaves.
Imagery.
What are you talking about?
That's
what I'm saying is at least it has something to do with my province. Where I Greek mythology has nothing to do with Toronto.
Excuse me?
Oh, my
British
Lord,
Columbia
dude.
Is the home of mountain lions, and they're the only
oh
one.
Oh, my
Does
God.
That make you different? You
Chris,
have lions.
No, I'm just
dude.
Asking questions.
Chris, there's this to think about too. Mountain lion is the proper name, but in Canada we call them the Canadian cougar. So why
there
don't
you
go. Call the cougar?
Call the puma.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
you
know,
the cougar.
They're
you can
lions.
Call them anything you want. They're a lion, and it happens to be named after the mountain lions that are up there, which look like two mountain lions that are above in North Vancouver in the mountains. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two little
I know
mountains.
That.
So that's called the Lions. Those
that's
lions
selective
were looking
reasoning.
Down at
that's
Empire
selective
Stadium,
reasoning.
And that's why our team got named that. At least it had something to do with the geographical surroundings of my city.
Well, sorry, dude,
Greek
but Argonauts are the oldest team in North
Toronto.
America, okay? The oldest team in North America. The BC Lions had some time to figure out what to call their name. You know, back in 18 million, They didn't think about, oh, you know what? We're going to think about what we're surrounded by, and that's what we're going to name it by.
Think,
come on.
People might think the bottom people are the slaves rowing the boat.
Stupid.
Oh,
well,
really?
I'm stupid because you're giving me stupid,
really?
Dude. Come on. Let's not go there. Slaves. Come on. Whoever thought of the Argonauts as slaves?
My gosh.
Oh, Chris. I'll forgive you, man. I'll forgive you.
That's quite
I know.
A stretch. That's quite a stretch.
I mean,
anyway,
you want to downplay it.
You know,
but
you know,
I mean,
anyway.
If teams want to increase their merchandise sales, they could just grab this whole cartoon logo. Like you look at Montreal, when they had the players, you know, design hats with New Era, SJ Green, instead of having that weird-looking bird that they have, that stupid logo, he got the logo that had the A and the M, that retro logo. That's what people want. People want something that represents their city, not a cartoon logo of some animal on their hat. Like, I don't want to walk on with a hat that has, you know, like a Viking on it. I want something that has TC or an M on it representing my city.
Right.
That's just
now,
what people
wear. What
does
that mean now? The Toronto, the Argonauts can put a crack pipe on the helmet?
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's a good one. But I guarantee you, if the Argos switched and put a T, like a double blue T representing Toronto, they would triple their sales overnight.
Is there something else that we can talk about in football than besides this? Because it's not going to go anywhere.
Wasn't the original team Balmy Beach?
Love those Ottawa jerseys. Love those Ottawa jerseys. That's what it's all about.
That's how it started.
Yeah.
Okay,
it was.
Well, okay.
We'll say goodbye
lame.
To this. We'll say goodbye to this. I've made it clear that my favorite jersey is the boat logo jersey, the one that Ferone wore, and it'll always be. I think that was at a time when the Argos went over a real dry spell, but I'll still say it's my favorite uniform. And one that isn't my team, my favorite uniform in its simplicity, is the old Ottawa Rough Riders with the R. I love that uniform to me. It was representative of that team, and I think it did a great job. They had a few great years. So, how about you, Manasse? Two favorite uniforms, one of your team. Just tell me which. Well, you just give me two teams, whichever.
Yeah, Hamilton and Toronto, hands down. They have the best uniforms. And the throwback Montreal with the A and the M, the old school logo with that look, that was one of my favorites.
Kelly, which Saskatchewan uniform are you going to pick?
Probably the Lancaster and Reed sets. Definitely like that one. Yeah, that's the classic
that's cool.
one with the Safeway S with the Weed Chief.
That's right. I love that.
Yeah,
I love that because people got that tattooed and sun, they put a sun kind of outline on it and they got tanned on their chest with the S. That was cool. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
No worries. And one of the other teams.
Honorable mention to Ottawa, the same one that you're talking about, Frank, Tony Gabriel. I mean, that's etched in my brain forever. I mean, that was the single greatest. Disappointment
stripes.
For the Rough Riders.
Stripes.
I remember those jerseys.
They were really nice. The guys looked great in them. I really enjoyed them. And of all the teams with letters, that was my favorite. But okay, now we got okay, Christopher, BC Lion uniform. Any preference?
I've never been really overly fond of their jerseys. Never really owned one because I didn't like them really. I am really hot on this third black jersey, the steel gray. It works
nice.
For me. And the matte black helmets, definitely, I think tops in the league at this point in time until somebody comes along with something better.
Mm-hmm.
And what
we'll
about
see how long it
other,
lasts.
What about other team?
Honestly, I like the double blue.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well... It's not hard to. It's,
I'm not
you know,
fond of too
it's
much
original,
of anything else.
There's not much. Well, how many other teams have blue in their uniform in the CFL? The Bombers.
Yeah,
that's
Montreal.
Right, and the dominant colors
Montreal.
Are red and black.
Oh,
the dominant colors
the Bombers.
Are red and black.
Let's talk about the Bombers. If you want to talk about how the name was created, if
okay,
you want to go
on.
There.
Hang on, let's finish this up. Mike left. When he comes back. He dropped out of the sky. Okay, John, your favorite Argo uniform? Okay, the boat logo. Your favorite other team?
Now, here's Chris saying Toronto. I like the pylon color.
We've moved on
to 80s BC jersey.
Haven't we?
No, I liked the BC jersey back in the 80s. The pylon color, I that stood out, dude. I mean,
orange
it's never good.
It stood out, that's for sure. That's spot on.
Yeah, but I liked the lion on it. Yeah, you know, it was one of a kind. And then again, here we go, Ticat fans. Yes, I actually like the Ticat jerseys, too.
And I'm sure if I had Facebook up, Bruce would be telling us. I haven't heard a ding, so maybe he's falling
asleep. I'm watching Bruce.
Yeah, he hasn't said anything since Areno Jones.
I got him up.
Yeah,
he hasn't said anything.
He hasn't said anything since Areno Jones. So basically, there you go on that one. Now,
just not paying attention to it.
Now, as far as the draft is concerned, I got a question for you guys. It doesn't have to do with who the teams are going to draft, but I'd like to discuss at first, one very simple question. Because I like this question. I always love this question because it tells a lot about a GM. Do you draft the player that you need the most on your team by position, or do you draft the best player available?
Good question.
Manasseh, you want to start?
Yes. Yeah, I think it depends who you are. Like in Ottawa's case, I think they have to take the best player available. If you're a Hamilton or a Toronto or a BC, you can afford to just, you know, get a guy as a need guy because, you know, you don't need them to start right away.
Perfect.
I think that depends on what position you're available. Now, if I'm going to draft the best player out there and he's an O-lineman and I'm stacked on O-line, but I know that bad example, they got a great O-line. Let's say Winnipeg needs a great O-lineman, but you know what? I could use a DB that they've got that's really hot. And you know what? If I give them I'd be able to grab a DB out of them. So you would draft for the best person out there if you had a domino effect to get to your end results. If not, you would have to go after the position that you needed.
You just made a case for why you draft the best player. Even if he's not useful to you, he becomes useful to you because
he's
somebody else might want him or might want somebody that you have that you feel he can replace.
Right, but you also have to have those cards in play before you pick the draft. Because
absolutely.
You don't get the position that you need, then there's no point in drafting the best player.
Guys, can I throw something in here?
Go ahead,
okay,
John.
Okay, the CFL draft is a little different game than the NFL draft or any other draft. When the teams actually look at the people that are available, they do a preliminary interview with these guys. And they basically want to get into your head and find out, where do you stand? Do you stand at, you know, going back to college even, or furthering your education? Or are you going to try the NFL? Or are you coming up here just to feel the waters out? And this is what they do. They do a one-on-one interview with the coaches, and the guy just sits across the table, and they break it down and find out what he's about, where his family is, what he's looking forward to. And really, the best player available sometimes doesn't get picked for that team because they find out something in that interview that doesn't jive for them, and they go for something else. So
yeah, but that, by
definition,
isn't the best player, John. But that's right, still, for them, it's not the best player.
Yeah, it's because...
Right? We're not just talking about... When you're talking about drafting, you're not just drafting talent, right? You know,
no.
The mental aspect of the game is very important. The commitment to winning is important. The character of the player.
Yep.
You know, there's lot of players. Otherwise, no player under 5'9" would get drafted ever if it's only about skill.
Yeah, but Frank,
you know.
Listen, when the CFL drafts its players, I mean, most of the time you say the guy who's going to get picked is going to play for the team, okay?
The
no
first
doubt.
Round, maybe.
Well, the NFL. Okay, let's say, for example, you want to compare.
Oh,
when
the NFL
makes the draft, that rookie knows he's going to training camp. And in the CFL, they don't know if he's going to show up to training camp. Okay? They're not sure about it. He might go down to the NFL. So there is no option for the CFL guy,
like
the NFL guy who gets picked in the draft. He's going to say, you know what? I'm not sure, NFL guys. I might go to the CFL. They don't have to
that ain't gonna
hear
happen.
That. Right. You know what I mean?
That ain't going to happen. That ain't
so
going to be a threat.
When the draft happens tomorrow, you might see a couple of surprises on some teams where you would think, what? Why would
you? Yeah, no,
they
John, but that
guy?
Wasn't the question. We'll get into that. That's the next thing. Let's just do one thing at a time. So you would draft the most talented or what?
You're asking me now?
Yeah. Well, I was asking everybody, well, and you were talking. I thought you'd answer that question. Go ahead.
Again, first of all, you're looking for the holes to fill, okay? And you're looking at age factor. Who's going up there in age that you need to fill that guy up if he doesn't do well? Or sometimes you look at the injuries that you had on a player that is a starter. You might want to get somebody who's going to fill that gap because the guy had too many injuries last year. There's
That's
so many variables. You know what I mean? There's so many variables when it comes to the CFL draft. It's really a crapshoot. I mean, the GMs really got to do their homework. They got to really anally kind of dissect everything down to the point where they know, is this player going to come and play on our team if we pick him? Most of the time, no. It's a desperate guy. You know what I mean? That the guy who maybe is going to be picked in the fifth round, well, you know what? Let's take him in the second round because we know we're going to get that guy. He's going to come and play for us. They might pick a second-round guy or first-round guy that they really like, and Frank, they might not get him for a year or two.
Yeah. That's a given because it's CFL. Christopher, Europe, we'll get to that part because that part's coming. That'll be the next thing I want to talk about, or one of the next things I want to talk about. So, Christopher, how do you pick the guy?
Me? I'm so tossed on this. I really don't think the draft is that significant. The majority of the players aren't going to play in the league.
Wasn't an important pick. Getzlaff wasn't an important pick. Getzlaff was not an important pick.
Sure, he was. Okay, look, out of any
and he
draft
was picked at
here,
the end of the draft. And he was picked at the end of the draft.
You want me to talk or not?
Yes.
Go.
Okay. Out of any draft year, there are going to be two or three totally outstanding people that are going to come into it. The majority of them are never going to get onto the field of grass as a starter in the first year. So the draft is always for the future. And you're picking up commodity pieces in which you can gamble with, trade, or throw in for an aging veteran that is going to play this year but might not play next year. So the draft today that we're having tomorrow isn't so much relevant to what's going to happen in June. In the CFL, it's more what's going to happen relevant to June next year or the year after. In my opinion, we don't know how many of these guys are going to go south to the NFL. We don't know how many are actually going to go back to school for another year. We don't know anything at this point in time.
But how does that impact on how you draft?
And we never get
them.
What I'm
asking
is what they never get.
You're telling me
how
you're not going to draft the guy. You're telling me why you're not going to draft the guy. I'm asking you.
No, I told you why I don't put so much stock in the draft.
So would you opt out of the draft?
I don't feel that it's that important.
Would you opt out of the draft and not pick anybody? Would you opt out of the draft and not pick anybody?
No, you can't do that because you need Canadian talent, right? So you have to have something to trade with. So, I mean, at this point in time, if I was a BC
Lions
GM, I'd be going after a DB because that's what I need.
There you go. Okay, good. That's it. So you can do it by position. You do it by position. That answers the question. That was a simple question. Yeah, that's all. That was the question. The question was, do you draft according to the most talented player available at the time that your name comes up to draft, or do you pick somebody that's more suited to your roster or your depth chart? So you're more interested in the depth of the team and helping the team fill some holes. Great. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, GMs all do different things.
I'm more interested in somebody who's actually going to come and play for my team.
Is he coming back in the room? No, Mike's not back yet. Did I give you all a chance to answer that question?
I haven't answered, but I'll just make it quick. I essentially agree with Christopher, but this is how I'd present it. I don't not care about this Canadian draft. I just think that I'll talk about it from this year's perspective because this year has been deemed a fairly weak draft class, not to insult any of the players or anything. It's just they haven't pronounced it a deep draft class. And for that reason, I'm picking the most talented player in the first round, no doubt. But then I'm going to fill those positions that, the many factors come into play. And you're drafting for position, you're drafting for assets. I see these guys as assets.
Would it be fair to say then, If let's say it pans out and it turns out that this was a weak draft year, sorry guys, those involved, then does that mean then what becomes more important in the later drafts is character?
Absolutely. Desire.
If you could clarify, when people say it's a weak draft, to Chris's point earlier about guys going back to school,
The CFL changed a draft where guys have to be basically either graduating or done with their football eligibility to be in the draft. So there's no more of this whole draft a guy and he goes back to school stuff. That's done. That's why the draft isn't as deep, because there's just fewer players. But if you look at the first round, I mean, most of these guys in the mock draft are guys that could step in and be impact guys right at the top. Like for Toronto, they draft Evan Gill, the defensive lineman. You know, that'd be a perfect help. I mean, that's what they need help at. And the teams that, like BC, or not BC actually, but Saskatchewan, Montreal to a degree, who use the draft wisely and build up their offensive line and defensive line through the draft, they're the teams that have always played at a high level consistently. But teams like Hamilton, who always whiff on the draft and they have to go in free agency and overpay guys, you see the inconsistency in their mediocrity they've been in. So if you use the draft wisely, it can lay a good foundation for your team in the future. So that's all my view of it.
Okay. And in my opinion, it's sort of a hybrid of what you guys have been saying. You draft the best player possible. If it starts to get to the point where the difference between the players is limited, then I would go with character, would be the weighing factor. And after character, then would come if I need guys at a position that I don't have, and I pick a couple of guys that are long shots with a big upside, you know, those ones that you sit there and say to yourself, you know, I could project this guy being a lot better next year. Because you can draft guys who go back to college for one more year. So, you know, there is that option. And then you've got options. The next question is, when do Tardif and Smith come in? You've got, for two different reasons, these players, their value drops. For Tardif and players like him, they drop in desire because they're too talented to draft, because you may never get a chance to play for them, by some people's definition. And the other is Smith, that did something that he regrets. That may shine on his character, and then that drops him in the draft. First of all, from each of you, how much do you think these guys will be dropped? They're talking about Tardif third round. I figure late second, very early third. As far as Quinn Smith is concerned, it's going to affect him, but I think it'll only affect him one round, I think. He probably will drop a round. Manasseh, what do you think?
Yeah, in the case of Tardif, I think a team like Saskatchewan that has a deep offensive line that's already set now could get him and hold them on to him as a future guy, like you said, 3 or 4 years down the road. But for Quinn Smith, I don't know, man. He shot up the board basically because of his combine results, and that's, everyone says, because of the steroids. So I don't know. I think teams are going to avoid him because they may just see him as a guy that's just going to be a problem down the road. If the whole substance abuse keeps going on, so.
How about you, Chris? Christopher?
I'll jump
in. Did I lose Christopher? Okay. Then you go ahead.
Okay. I think, you know, Manasseh makes a good point that Saskatchewan could afford to wait on an O-lineman, but seems to me over the last few years, Calgary's really been aggressive with the offensive linemen. They got Brett Jones last year. Look at the dividends he's paid. So there's every reason for Calgary to want to go after this guy. If you noticed also, Calgary has a ton of picks in the first three rounds. So I really see Calgary going after Tardif. And as far as, you know, your guy in trouble, what's his name again, Frank?
Quinn Smith,
yeah, I see him dropping a few positions, really, only. Kind of going opposite of Manasseh, I think that it'll be too great of a temptation for whoever kind of comes in the next 4 to 5 spots, maybe even before that. I think it's just too great a temptation to grab a player that might be, you know what I mean? And that's really all these guys are after pick number 12 this year is might-be's.
Yep. Good point.
Chris, you're back?
I'm back. I was actually back on the other line holding, but that's okay. I'm here now.
Oh, I didn't see you. I've been dialing you. Anyway, Christopher, Quinn Smith, how far will he drop? Tardif, how far will he drop? You know, what do you think of their situation?
I'm just going to abstain from this conversation because I really haven't been paying attention, and I don't have an opinion.
Oh, okay, fair enough. John, how about you? John Granger?
Well, I say the first four guys won't even play for the teams. So.
I think Lavertu,
the first guy, will.
Yeah.
I think he will.
That's just the way I feel about it. I don't know. I got nothing exciting about the drafts. You know, I'm more worried about the guys who they got right now. It's not that big of a deal as it is in the NFL. Here we got guys who, if they come, they're going to need a lot of fine-tuning, okay? In the NFL, basically the guys out of college are, you know, they're really good and they're ready to go. So anybody who does join a team, unless they're big fellas getting picked, I don't see anybody really that's going to stand out and take the lead here. And the first four guys, I just don't even think they're going to play for the teams. It's usually what happens.
But, you know, the CIS has come a long way. I think these guys have got a lot more talented. They've done a better job developing players. And a guy, like I said, Evan Gill for Toronto, I could see him stepping in and starting day one, considering the Argos' lack of Canadian content and especially their defensive line, which is absolutely terrible. So... I sent you the mock draft on Facebook if you want to take a look at that, but
I would like
the Argos to start him along with Cleon Lang. That way they could have two Canadians on the D-line, which could give them more flexibility on offense, which is where it's the most important. But, you know, teams that minimize their use or dismiss the need for the Canadian draft, I've seen over the last 5 years, they're the teams that you always see going up and down or faltering, like a Winnipeg or a Hamilton, and even Toronto at times. But the teams that use it and know how to use it properly, like Montreal, Saskatchewan, BC, Calgary, they that's your key to sustained consistency and sustained success. So I think you guys, if you really take the time to look into it, it's really good. I mean, a lot of these guys are going to be impact guys that are going to really, you know, I think are going to come in. And guys, if you listen to interviews, they're actually happy and excited to be in the CFL because the league is growing, got a greater profile. And guys take pride in playing in the Canadian League and representing for their country. So I think this is the first year in the next couple of years we're going to see more and more impact guys coming out of the draft, stepping in and being impact players in the CFL.
It also
To me would make it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the impact of players historically has been a good one. You know, John, we have Andre Drury, and he was drafted at the end. Getzlaff was drafted at the end. These are all guys that are diamonds in the rough. That, you know, the luck of the draw. You know, you pick the guy, and then, you know, there's a lot of football. Unfortunately for Canadians, it's a late development situation. You know, the best players aren't always the guys who are playing really well when they get out of college. It's once they get that professional coaching and they're able to grasp, and that's why the character thing is so important. That's why the interviews are so important. With the Canadian players, it's about dedication because, you know, your fate can change one heck of a lot after 2 years. It really can. After 2 or 3 years, you know, the guys that you might have thought would have made the team in 2-3 years are nowhere to be found. And then there's these diamonds in the rough like Getzlaff and Drury who are not that big but have big hearts. And that, to me, is what makes the draft that important, is at least get a crack at some young guys that you can put on your neg list and you can, you know, train. And you know, the Canadians need a little more work. You know, the Americans are real easy. You bring an American in, you know, and overnight, other than the fact that they got to grasp a whole new game, you know, the coaching part of it, the coaching aspect, they have, you know, to the eye teeth. You know what I mean? Like they're well coached. All the American players.
Yeah.
So you guys don't really follow the CIS that much, I'm guessing, from what I'm hearing.
I follow it a little bit.
Okay.
I do not.
I do.
Okay. For those who are interested at all, like I recommend on YouTube, there's a show called The Crown Countdown, which is hosted by Jim Mullen from Shaw TV, and it's basically like a weekly highlight show that sort of goes around the whole CIS and shows what's going on around the league. It's a great thing to check out if you want to just, you know, get into the CIS. But it's really interesting. It's come a long way. There's great rivalries in there.
There's a lot of strong programs, especially in Ontario, Quebec, Saskatchewan. So I mean, for those who may have not checked into it, I really recommend looking into it, and you'll see how far it's come in the last 5 years. And
yeah, we have a network dedicated to them now. You know, we have Sportsnet 360, which is showing all the CIS games. They're well covered. You know, I spent a long time doing play-by-play for CIS football back in the day. Yeah, I don't pay attention to it as much as I used to. That's because the CFL takes up so much of my time and doing this program. But I do have a bit of a clue on it. And for here in Toronto, we've had a deathly silence because both York and U of T have been not that good. They haven't been that competitive.
No.
And because of that, you know, we don't hear about them much being in the newspaper or local news or local sports, that kind of thing, right? Because, you know, they all like to talk about the, you know, when it comes to football, tell us the good news because we don't have time to tell people bad news. You know what I mean? Or you know, there has to be a level of willingness for people to actually stay tuned to it, you know? So, yeah, so it's changing as well. Toronto this year has improved. York is improving. York's going to be working with the Argonauts this year, which is going to help them as well. And so, you know, it's going to be an interesting year in CIS as well as the CFL.
But that's kind of my point and why my position is on the CIS that it is we don't have anything out in BC. We don't see anything happening. We got the Klansmen. They're basically an NCAA team, flip-flop back and forth. You never know where they're playing this year. And then you've got UBC, who really have never been that competitive or have not been that competitive the last decade or so. And they're talking about canceling their program. So, you know, it really gets people, you know, how do you expect me to be excited about something that is going on in Quebec? Or, you know, because Quebec has a fabulous CIS type of program in place or football program in place. BC just does not. It just is not part of our culture out here.
Yeah
well, there's only two major universities. I mean, other than that, there's you know, Kamloops and the University of Northern British Columbia and PG, and they're not big enough to support football programs. But one thing I wanted to say was one time I was in Vancouver, my dad took me to his old alma mater, UBC. He attended there in the early 50s, getting his master's degree in education, and he took me to Thunderbird Stadium, and man, is that place a mecca. Like, oh, my God.
Awesome
the feeling
stadium.
You get walking into there is just unbelievable. Like, it feels like you're in a coliseum. Like, you can just, you know,
beautiful
you can
stadium.
Taste the sweat. Oh, you can, it's, the atmosphere
without question,
is amazing.
It's awesome. I've been there several times. But the point being is it's not exciting if there isn't a team on the field.
Yeah.
You know, you could only back
I mean,
a loser for so long.
UBC has gotten a lot better. I mean, they got a really nice quarterback, and they've done a much better job as far as recruiting and developing. And what I've read is that they're actually going to keep the football program. And, in fact, they even said they're going to start investing more into it. So I think you're going to see
cut back
UBC
on the,
as a program
on the Ultra, the Frisbee League and stuff like that, and
dump
the money more into
stuff.
More of the money into the better programs, which I agree. And if you know what, it may just turn around for us and things may become more interesting and exciting but the Lions are still an affordable team to go see. You know, it's like you can't go see the Canucks because they're too expensive, so that's why the WHL works so well out here, right? Where the Lions are still affordable to go see by the blue-collar people out here. Why would you go see
another big factor, Christopher, is the strength of junior football, taking a lot of the players to cities in the Okanagan and, the Vernon Vipers, the Okanagan Sun.
It's amazing
out there. Like, they have some seriously awesome programs out there, and, you know, they're consistently at the national level anyways with their play. So, you know, a lot of guys do choose, hey, I want to, like, that's what they grow up thinking. I want to be an Okanagan Sun, or I want to be a Surrey Ram, or a Vernon Viper, or whatever.
Well,
so
my store is a sponsor of the Langley Rams now, so, you know,
nice.
I mean, we're behind the teams. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing them in any way, shape, or form. I'm supporting them as best I can. I just don't follow them that closely.
Yeah.
Well, you're defining a lack of interest based on a lack of supply. So, you know, you can't be interested in anything. something that doesn't exist.
We kind of
have the same problem here in Toronto. If you follow the newspapers and stuff, you might find it hard to believe that there is actually a CFL team in Toronto.
I think it's a little bit deeper than that when it comes to Canada. We don't follow it because it's not embedded in our culture as it is in the States. I mean, they breathe it down there. They live it. They the community's involved. High school teams, all that stuff. We're breaking the high school programs down. We don't even have sports anymore in high school, I don't think. Never mind football teams, right? So for that reason, we don't follow the college stuff as deep.
My house is actually on the U.S. border. My neighbor is America. I'm that close to it. I'm like 400 feet from the U.S. border. There's a town just south of me called Linden, Washington. It's a really small, very strong. I think they have more churches per capita than anywhere else in the United States. It's just like it's the Bible Belt. It's the Dutch community type of thing. They have a high school football stadium down there that will rival most CFL stadiums. Seriously, I think it holds 12,000 to 14,000 people. It's sold out every Friday night. There's only 7,000 people in the city, in the town. A stadium that's twice the size
Friday
of the population,
night
and it's full. And we're talking about a little hick town in Upper Washington. you cannot go to a store down there. Every store closes, locks the door, puts a thing on the door that says gone to football.
Here in Ontario, we have so many hockey teams in Ontario, and the irony is that Toronto has difficulty supporting a junior hockey team. And Mississauga here, the Steelheads are here, in the small communities and in these kinds of teams, they don't need a lot of support, but if they get enough, they can exist.
Yeah.
But the CFL is really tough.
It's the same thing with Saskatchewan. It's the same thing with the Rough Riders. Why does the smallest per population city in the league have the biggest fan support? Right? It's because they have a limited number of things.
Yeah, and it's just like the one thing they have in their community for everyone to rally around. So it naturally absorbs
absolutely,
everybody.
and good for them. It's great that the CFL provides the people in Saskatchewan an element of pride, and that's what I maintain in sports, and that's what sports is all about. It does serve as a way of creating community pride. Never mind all the other sob stories that we have to hear about how teams play badly, but when they play well, like the Raptors did here in Toronto, the city gets behind it. We all love where we live for the most part, and when our city is worn on a franchise of any league and it does well, there's always a spike in interest.
Yeah, and if I could add, I know I'm being sort of a CIS advocate, but even in Ontario, there's a lot of great programs, whether it be Western,
absolutely,
Queens, Guelph, that get tremendous fan support. Like in Western, they average 10 to 15,000 a game, and they have one of the best. They have like an NCAA college football type atmosphere at their games, and so does Queens. And, in out west, Saskatchewan, their program in Saskatoon is top-notch. And
Calgary,
of course in Quebec,
Calgary,
but
the Dinos.
For those who, if you check it out, like, you'll be surprised. The quality of the football is great. The fan support is really strong. They have great atmospheres at the game. I actually enjoy watching CIS games more than the CFL at times because the teams are more aggressive and, it depends.
And I'll say a little bit of trivia here. Who's the most famous CIS player of all time? Went to University of Calgary. He was a Super Bowl MVP.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Played with the Dinos.
I have no idea.
Mark Rippon.
I wouldn't have guessed that in a million years.
Yeah. Quarterback, Washington.
I have no idea who that
Redskins.
Is.
Yeah. there you go. That's how much people, even though Calgary's a great organization, they got some history and stuff like that, it's just kind of a sideline event. In the small towns across the prairies, the center of the community is the curling rink. Like, it couldn't be a more different world than down south.
Yeah.
I mean? Like,
And you know what? Saskatchewan's pretty big in curling, too, and a lot of, you know, we play a lot of sports here in Canada, you know, and I think we proved it in the Olympics with what we like to call the double-double, where we controlled all the ice sports, the men and women's curling and men and women's hockey. So, you know, ice is us. You know, we are ice. So, you know, it's probably why we wonder why people don't understand. We can play football outside. It's okay. Yeah, but it's 40 below. Yeah, so? You know, so we get a thicker snowsuit.
The Regina Rams get about maybe 1,500 to 3,500 fans per game. Like, you know, this is Ryderville. It's supposed to be football bananas and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the Thunder get even less. They're national champions. So
when you look at the Saskatchewan Huskies, they get huge fan support, and they have better facilities than half the teams in the CFL. Like, you know,
only
people just don't know that. Yeah.
Only game in town. Yep. Yeah, that's for the Saskatoon people. That, I mean, there's people in Saskatoon that are bigger Husky fans than they are Rider fans. Like,
but guys,
just,
doesn't that speak well of the game of football in Canada, and isn't that good news for the CFL? Because the biggest and most important thing that will prop the CFL up is not, you know, is not fancy stuff. It will be the grassroots. And fortunately for us, football's okay in the grassroots. Here in Toronto, I'll add something else to what you guys are saying. Along with the help of the Toronto Argonauts, there are high school teams coming back, ones that had tradition and left. And now they're coming back. There's a lot of reasons why people say that's the case, but regardless of why they are, and that's good news. You know, in a time when people think that there's a downtrend in football, there's lots of good signs that, like you guys are saying, all of you are saying, there's all these pockets of great football places. You know, maybe beside curling rinks, but you know, they're there and they're growing. And there's a lot of strength in Saskatchewan for football, and as we said, in Calgary. Yeah, out west needs a little bit of work all the way west in BC, but I just think that BC has a lot of great athletes, period. You know, they do contribute a lot, Major League Baseball. You know, there's lots of sports in Canada, and they're played in various places to a lot of success, not just limited success, but a lot of success. All you need to do is look in North American sports, and a lot of Canadians, you know, you were talking about ripping. You know, there's a lot of other players, most valuable players in baseball, you know, in football, basketball, first-round draft choices. So, you know what, guys, as far as talent's concerned, I'm never worried about the CFL as far as Canadian talent's concerned. I happen to think that Canadians love sports. We may not have the same rep, let's say, of a small country our size of Australia, but I think we do pretty good.
Speaking of doing pretty good, Frank, I just want to say congratulations to Jason Pottinger. His mother, Ann, posted yesterday that he got engaged to a lovely lady named Liz, and wishing them all the best in their future, and definitely for him this season. So it looks like it got to a great start for Jay Pottinger. Congratulations.
Nice.
Saturday was Adam Big Hill's wedding.
Wow.
Big ceremony out here on the West Coast.
Did you get
married
an invitation?
A BC girl.
Did you get an invitation?
No, I didn't. I did not. No, no. I was talking to him about
Another shout out should go to Big Belton Johnson here in Regina. He got his Canadian permanent residency. Yeah, he, you know, I mean, he's very, very, very filled with pride about, you know, finally, after 3 years of waiting, getting this permanent residency. And the only difference between that and citizenship is just the right to vote and the right to actually hold a Canadian passport. But other than that, he's got all the rights of you and I, and he couldn't be happier, and I couldn't be happier for him. It's
and
awesome.
A big Ticat fan.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anybody else want to shout out?
Canada's a great country. I just want to throw that out there.
Thank you. Very nice.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
all right, so we've discussed a bit about the draft, and now, if we can, we've got about 20 minutes, a little bit. Any of these free agents, I said we talk about the free agents that might. John Do you see anybody going anywhere? I was saying that I saw one in particular that left Hamilton that would be nice to bring back to Toronto to help defensively.
Well, nobody in particular, but if it is going to happen, it's going to happen because the team that is picking him knows that they're not going to get him this year. And the other team that they're trading him to is saying, you know what, we can think about using him maybe in a couple of years. So, yeah, we'll take him off your hands. And that's just the way it works in the CFL. So I just can't get too excited about it.
Oh, no, John, we're moving to the guys that are released, There's been guys that have been released. There's a list of guys that have been released. I look at one that left Toronto last year and ended up in Hamilton. He might look good. Yeah, he might look good back in our lineup, a different defensive coach. At least he knows some of the players. Milanovic knows who he is.
Okay, you know how bad that's going to look? Because remember, Scott is the one that took the fall for cutting him or making him sit the day before the Ticat game. You know,
right.
He said it was on him. So if it's on him to cut a player like that and then let him go, is it going to be on him to bring him back? Was it really him? You know what I mean? If he does come back, then
okay,
we all know what it was. You know?
Yeah, well, we'll
find
out.
No, that's not true. I mean, Wally did cut Khalif Mitchell, and he brought him back. So
that's a totally different story. That was a dressing room problem, too, they said. And I don't know. Isaac never was a problem.
I understand. All I'm saying is that, you know, coaches make mistakes, and when they come up and they can admit them, and they can say, you know what, we were better off with him, and more
but
power
point,
to him
Chris,
is not going to do
my
that.
My point, Chris,
I know it's
is
about
that,
Chris Jones.
Yeah, Scott is not the one that made the mistake. Scott is the one that made the mistake by saying, I'm the head coach, and I'm the one who makes the decision.
Yeah,
right?
But he has
so,
to say that, John, and he has to,
of course.
You know, you can't micromanage, John. You can't
right.
And people understand that. You can't micromanage. So you're going to make some decisions that you're not 100% happy with, but then you have to show, the respect and the latitude to an assistant coach or a defensive coordinator to make decisions that ultimately you have to approve.
Charlie would be
crazy
if they didn't take him back. Let's put it that way. I still like the guy. He still played pretty good for Hamilton at the end of the season. You know what I mean? The Ryder game, the Grey Cup game, was tough on him, but. He still came out, you know, he played his heart out. And it's tough going from one team to another, especially a rival like that. I don't know. We'll just see how it all plays out. You know, I'm looking for June 7th. Man day!
John, before we go, I got to ask you, because I've been trying to follow what's going on with this whole labor negotiations, and everything I'm reading from all the insiders says basically we're looking at a lockout, and the guys – we'll be lucky to even have a training camp. We may even miss all of the preseason. Have you heard anything? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Okay, check this out, Manasse. What you just said was said exactly the last time. Okay? They were doing the same thing. And, you know, now, of course, the players have a little bit more leverage. But, again,
Why do they have more leverage, John?
Have less.
Well,
why do you think
just because of the fact that all these TV contracts were signed, okay? But at the end of the day, okay, the guys who run the Players Association or the heads always know that, you know, you got to go back on the field. We're going to lose momentum. We're going to lose fan base. It's nothing that we can afford to. And if we're really having our good intentions on wanting to get a bigger piece of the pie, then how can we ask for a bigger piece if we're part of the problem that lost the big piece, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the bargaining power that the other unions have in other leagues. It's just not played out that way. They are going to be using these scare tactics because they want to say, well, you know, we should get more, right? But at the end of the day, I still believe they're all going to sign. No one's talking upset for, you know, Rumorville that they're going to walk, all right? No one. No one that I hear, that I know, is saying that they're going to walk. They're saying deep threats, but I don't think so. Still going to Winnipeg.
I find
anyway.
It interesting
we'll
that,
you,
that Winnipeg Winnipeg recorded basically almost a $3 million profit, and that was one of the teams that the league was trying to say, oh, they're struggling, thus we can't afford to give in. And the last card to drop, which is to John and Frank, you guys probably aware, this is the MLSC thing, and it's obvious that the league does not want to announce MLSC bought the team because they know once that happens, no longer can they hide behind, oh, Toronto's struggling financially, thus we can't afford to give in to your demands.
Good point.
So, absolutely.
And
so
in
that's,
a lot of ways,
why
the league position is getting undermined. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was wondering, because by now, I mean, what the Maple Leafs are done, the Raptors are done. I'm thinking, you know, why haven't they announced it? Then I read Rash Madani from Sportsnet, and he talked about that. And so the league is playing, they're playing poker with these guys, and they're trying, you know, but we'll see. Like you said, they should do it, and they. What I found out is the TSN will not pay the CFL that $40 million if the players strike and they cancel regular season games.
Of course
they
will.
That's
the one piece of leverage that the CFL has, the players have. So
absolutely.
We'll see. Yeah.
You nailed it, though. You nailed it on the well, let's put it this way. I heard something else now that kind of coincides with what you're saying a little bit, is that the front office in the Argos basically told, go with the flow like you're running the team. So that means they're not going to jump in a rush to say, you know what, we want to get the ticket drive going, da-da-da-da. Basically, now it's like they're putting the front office on a three-month probation period. See what you guys can do again this year and see kind of effort, and we're going to evaluate you, and then we're going to jump in and kind of clean ship. So absolutely you nailed it. If they come in now, it just defeats the purpose of their bargaining, you know, saying that they don't have all
the
strength.
Bargaining position. John, I want you to know that I talked to the CFL head office today. I finally got three of them. Yeah,
okay.
And I pleaded on your behalf, and I said to the CFL, I said, guys, can you please solve this, because I want to buy my airline ticket to Winnipeg, and I want to be able to go to that game, but I'm not going to buy a ticket on the airplane just because it might happen. I need to know it's going to happen. And besides, I said, not everybody's like me. We have even people, not to mention names, John Granger, who if you don't open, the negotiations and solve this problem, you're going to be seeing one of the biggest double blue fans in more ways than one, waving a poster asking, why can't I get into the stadium to watch football?
Oh,
so,
you put it too nicely. It's not gonna. That's not what the post is going to read, dude.
Well, I know that, but I was being nice about it. But I was joking with them because I can, I'm concerned as a fan. I called as a fan, okay, and I'm very interested in being associated with the CFL as a fan, because I have a few people here who I enjoy talking to about the CFL, you know, as a subject. And it's further to that end of hoping someday to be considered, you know, to have a loose association with the CFL. And I got good news that we're being considered. Now, today was the wrong show for me to give him a link to, because we started off in directions that weren't football. But you know what? I in my life never try to play games. So I sent him a link. I didn't say nothing to you guys because I wanted the show to be, if they listen to it, we're going to have some problems. But if they listen to it, they're going to get to hear how we handle them. So, you know, trust me when I say this, it really doesn't matter. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. If it doesn't happen, that's great too. Further to that, we will at some point, or I will at some point, ask our friends in our group to maybe we'll start an email campaign and try to, I don't know, Christopher, this is something that you and Phyllis are really good at. Going to need your input on that. And then Bill Howe, probably I've already benefited from Bill Howe's, because I was called by the CFL today. I didn't call them. They called me. So I've obviously already benefited from you guys, you, John, the Argos, anybody whom I've associated with. If they had anything bad to say about us, the show, me or myself, or me, myself, and I, the three stars of the show, they got one. My wife liked
dead
that one.
Silence, right? Dead silence.
Yeah, I know. My wife liked it. Neither of you guys did. Thanks a lot. The point is that we'll do this together. If it happens, it's going to be because of everybody right here and everybody who listens and everybody who posts, like the Kingsleys, posting. John reminding me that there's a problem with the posting on some of the websites. You know, all the help you guys give me, and when you tell me, like, Bruce John Inch is trying to give a message. All that stuff, guys, trust me when I say this, this isn't a single-person operation. And the only thing I'll ask is, now that you guys were set free today, and now you know that somebody might be listening that could further the program, I hope you can look back at what you did on the program today and figure out a better way to handle it next time. if you follow what I'm saying. No criticism here, just saying. Take a step back and have a look, because we're just fans. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a professional operation. It's an operation that I try to run it professionally, but unfortunately we're fans first, and I want to maintain that. I want the fan aspect of this show to always be paramount, always to be the more important thing, because there's lots of professionals that can do, you know, TSN does a great job doing what they do. I don't want to compete with TSN. I want
Frank,
you guys.
Can I say something on that part?
Go ahead.
Listen,
go ahead.
Listen, buddy.
Go ahead.
First of all, the fact that nobody do and what happened at the beginning of the show and during the show is exactly what should happen. Take it from a guy who has been listening to radio shows and calling in way longer than I knew any of you guys, all right? And this is natural route. This is what is called passion, and when a topic comes up, it should come out naturally. It shouldn't be scripted. It shouldn't be censored. It should come out as a flow. So no shame in this show, no regret, no looking back.
I have
back.
No opinion on it.
Be what you are every time you are on. And that
Amen.
Is the show, okay? So I'm into that. And if the CFL can't cut it, can't want it, don't want nothing to do with it, then they aren't listening to the real fans. That's all I
That's
got.
That's okay. I have no and the way I left it with the CFL is real simple. I said, I'm not even going to question whether you want us or not, because regardless of whether you help us out to reach more people or not, we're still going to do this. And at least I will. And I sense that the same will be said by the rest of you as well, and other people who may want to be interested, because really that's
Sounds
all
great.
We are is we're a fan show, right?
If I could offer a word of encouragement to you, Frank, there was a show called Starters that was on Sportsnet, and it was basically five guys like ourselves who were NBA fans. It was based
oh, really?
In Toronto. Yeah, and these guys they basically had a show where their format was the five guys, they would bring up a topic and current event in the NBA, and they would just discuss it freely like we are. And it gained popularity, and then NBA TV actually picked it up, and now
wow.
they're actually in Atlanta working – and they're on the NBA TV network. So the precedent has been set. It was basically the exact same format we have. They were just five guys, regular guys who like the NBA. They were in Toronto, the league, the NBA saw it. They saw it was growing in popularity. They liked it. They brought them over, and now they have an official TV show.
I hope this doesn't mean that the NFL will want us.
No, I'm just saying, like, I think they're embracing this whole format because they know it's the
well,
fans.
Great.
It's not, like John said, it's not scripted, and people want
to
see real passion.
And we don't have to see eye to eye, because if everybody says the same thing, I find that even I find that even more offensive if everybody agrees. And I mean, offensive.
It's one thing for us all to be from the same team. If this was an Argo show, which it was at one point in time, and you guys are just going back and forth, patting each other on the back, and everything is all wonderful, it's boring. Who wants to listen to it, right? And if we're like TSN, who has no bias, no affiliation to any team, there's no passion, no culture there, who wants to watch that either? You know, when I'm sitting there and yelling and screaming about the BC Lions, and Kelly's got the Riders back, and John's yelling up and down about the Argos, this is what it's about. This is why we do this. I love to hear what you guys have to say about your teams. It's wonderful to see and hear the passion that you guys hold for your team.
That's great, Chris. I appreciate that, Chris. But I have to say something. First of all, having an all-show about the Argos was the passion behind even putting our voices on the air. Okay? Meeting Frank. Okay, but the saying it's boring, it was not boring to the Argo fans
that were calling in,
that was tuning in.
Oh, absolutely
in. Maybe
not.
From the
but,
outside,
it was,
but it was it, the intentions, but let me just say it. The intentions always were is to bring out the Argo voice, and there was no voice. And if that led to this, then that was a beautiful thing. It was never boring because it got
you
tuned
in.
Was,
John, I didn't mean it was boring to you, to your fans, and how you started it. All I'm saying is, as the CFL as a whole, I don't want to sit and listen to an Argo show. It wouldn't happen. Nor would Kelly, nor would anybody else. And I understand the evolution of how it took and how it got to where it is, and this is why it is wonderful, is because we do all have passion for our own team, whether it's Surge, whether it's anybody. And that's what makes this so interesting, because you never know what's going to come out of somebody's mouth next.
But, Chris, an all-rider show is a good thing. An all-Argo show is a good thing. I still like those shows.
For Argo.
I still like the Rider Nation. I still tune in to their broadcast.
Yeah.
So I love those shows. I love when they talk all-rider talk. And I do not believe in your idea that it would be a boring all-Argo talk show.
No, all-Argo show is not boring. If I can pipe in the genesis of this, when I give credit to you guys, I give it to you sincerely, and here's why. Because I've always been open to seeing, well, you know, from a Toronto perspective, how much football interest we could get. And I'm proud of the fact that we found you guys so that we could talk about the CFL as a whole, because that isn't a very popular subject. It just happens by accident, okay, guys? This all happened by accident. It's just a twist of fate, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean that, and don't take this the wrong way, it doesn't mean that I won't be doing an Argo show this year. I'm not sure I won't be. You know what I mean? I'm not sure I won't be. I haven't decided that yet. What I do decide, though, is I have friends who maybe I don't socialize with, maybe I don't live in the same city as they do, or province for that matter, or even state or country, but I do know one thing. I always count on them to come in and share their opinion, and we've developed a friendship of sharing and talking, because, guys, I'm not an idiot. You guys could go anywhere and do what you're doing. The fact that you come here and want to do this, I take as a compliment and an honor, but also as a responsibility, okay? So when I say I talk to the CFL, I really shouldn't have said anything, because in the normal circumstance of things, it would basically be jinxing it. But I thought about it all day today and arrived at the conclusion that we're in this together, and I had every responsibility to let you guys know what was going on. But I needed you guys to know immediately after we did the show, because I need you guys now to think long-term, and if you really want to do this thing with the CFL, there's a certain amount of things that we have to change, just because, unfortunately, not to be boring, but to be respectful. And on that note, Frank,
here's a correction, that I was nitpicking at you for the first 4 months that we did this thing at the beginning, until it led to this here, is that you always should play the team songs somewhere in between, just to bring it alive a little bit. You got the Rider songs, you got the R. So this is something that we're a little bit missing. We get caught up in talks, and, you know, I hear the shows afterwards, and you guys get rolling and stuff, and that's the one thing it needs to be reminded, because it is an all CFL show. And when you did play those jingles and those theme songs, it really is a lot of fun to listen to that. You know, sometimes we need a break from each other, because then it's hard to change subjects. So if we want to reflect on what to do next time, maybe that's
Those blanks are going to be filled by whomever is our partner. Right now, I have you guys as partners, and the point I'm trying to make is I hope you realize I've tried to treat you guys with respect, mutual respect, in fact, and I hope you realize that I have a loyalty to you that I can't even explain, but I do have a loyalty towards you guys, and this is a responsibility. If they decide to take us on, you know, there's a maturity level that we have to achieve, and I don't mind saying this publicly, because quite frankly, I'm speaking to everybody who's listening to this show, you know, because I want them to understand it's their show as much as it is anybody's. And John knows more than I. And the irony, John, is that some of the SOBs, SOBs have come into the CFL is the best football in the world. They've asked to join the group.
The irony. Isn't that?
Yeah. Now, you're the only one that understands the irony.
Could I say something directly to anyone from the CFL who's maybe, you know, tuning in and try to check out this show? As a person who's a passionate CFL fan, and I was, you know, going over the internet trying to find a good podcast or a good CFL show, I just say contrast this show to, say, Rouge Radio or Third and Long. the BC Lions podcast, all these different shows you see. Look at the energy that this has. Look at the passion we have. We bring information. We bring the facts, but we also bring the passion and opinion that only fans can bring. And I think, personally, as someone who's looked at all of them, the rest of those shows have a stale, sort of scripted lack of energy that I just, to me, is not appealing. But I think this show brings that. And if you guys want to check it out, if we smooth the edges, you know, and correct a couple things, this show has tremendous potential. So I definitely think it's worth giving it a chance.
Well, it's loaded with strong personalities, you see. Yeah, it's loaded with strong personalities, one of which you are, you know. I think so.
Frank, at the end of the day, it's the voice. I told you when I met you, you have a voice. It needs to be heard. Oh, we come and go. We're fans. This is the show. It's the Candid Frank live show. Dude, you are
candid,
a star.
Remember,
you will carry
the
on.
The Candid Frank live show, as you know, John, it took you a while to figure it out, is I had to come up with a name that said CFL. That's it.
I understand.
Because that's what it's all about. It's all about the CFL. Me, I'm just a jockey. The horse and the real star is the CFL, the Canadian football.
That's right.
On that note, boys, Kelly, sorry, I got to go. It's getting too late for me. I got to be up at 5.
Yeah, we're also in overtime.
Beautiful. Love
wrap
it
up. This is Game of Thrones night.
Sweet. Okay, take care, boys.
Is it a Game
boys.
Of Thrones night? Fantastic.
No,
great.
That was
okay,
last
listen.
Night.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for, as usual, taking part. For those of you that have just listened to the last part of the show, you can listen to the whole thing once again. It ends up in the archive of Blog Talk Radio. That was John Granger. Between him and Jamie Wolodarski, the two most famous Argo fans in existence. With us, of course, are Mr. BC Lions Den, of course, Christopher Jones, not to be confused with Chris Jones, the coach of the Edmonton Eskimos. Mike Townsend was here. I guess he had to drive away. He's gone now, and he is our Michigan CFL fan. And, of course, Manasseh Gibber-Medin, who is our Minnesota – well, we used to call him Minnesota Mike, and then I found out his real name was Manasseh. So we call him by Manasseh now, and that's his real name. Manasseh, thank you so much for being a part of the program. I say that sincerely.
Appreciate it, Frank, and congratulations for all the
well, there is no congratulations. It just might be just a nice way of being told no, and it doesn't matter. We'll still carry on. I just wanted you to know that I wouldn't have had the nerve to ask if it wasn't for you guys. That's what you guys need to understand. I would not have had the nerve to ask if it wasn't for you guys. And Kelly Bale, who has been always a great fountain of information on the program, who definitely loves the game of the CFL. Unfortunately, loves the Saskatchewan Rough Riders more, but that's okay. We forgive
wake
him.
Wake up, Rider Nation.
We forgive him.
You always
pick on the big guy hardest, if you know what I'm saying.
Absolutely, guys. And you know, I just love all you guys, and I love being part of this show. You know, it's something that does require a big commitment, and I just want to say thank you to everybody for the commitment you've made to this show, especially you, Frank. And, you know, there's some missing parts here as well, Bruce John Inch, some other people that have been a big part of this show throughout the time. Some have had some small roles. You know, we had some guys in Edmonton for a little while and a Calgary fan for a couple shows, but everybody counts, and it's all about the listeners and the league.
And
Rob
the
Emery.
Biggest, yep, Rob J. Emery.
Yep.
And, Serge, who's watching hockey right now,
Serge,
or who
Serge.
Watched hockey, don't tell me what happened because I my wife said it for me so I could watch it. Serge Develutien. Develutien. Thank you. Hey, listen, I did this, and I always say I did it for therapeutic value. My wife knows I'm telling the truth. And there's nothing that brings a bigger smile to my face, and my wife would be the first one to tell you that I've become a better person, and the tragedy that struck me and the problems that I developed because of that tragedy, this has been a great wake-up call to the guy I used to be, ironically, also on television, on radio many, many, many years ago. So I really appreciate your company here and sharing your love of the game. So, guys, thank you so much. And I did say Christopher Jones, and I did say Mike Townsend. I did say John
Granger. You covered
Granger.
Everybody.
I covered everybody? Okay.
You covered everybody.
Oh, and you know what? We shouldn't forget the two Phyllises either. You know, Jesperson and oh my goodness, Babin, thank you very much. Drawn blanks all of a sudden. You know, there are a lot of people here back in the Argo days that, you know, stuck with us. And I'm looking forward to a season when we actually have games to talk about. And the end of June is – we're at the end. We're in the middle of May, man. We're in the middle of May. You know, pretty soon we'll be at the beginning of June, and then we got just that 1 month at least. There'll be some action. There'll be some training camp and stuff, right?
Well,
and we'll have lots
preseason
of stuff.
Game is June 7th, isn't it?
Is it that early in June?
Yeah, it's June 7th. It's June 7th. Yeah.
Wow.
June 7th
hey,
or June 9th.
We're only a couple weeks away.
We're 3 weeks from
away.
Football.
Yeah, yeah
when is training camp supposed to start?
It starts on May 28th for the rookies,
wow.
June 1st or June 2nd for the veterans, and then the first preseason game, I think, is June 7th, June 9th. That's a Toronto and Winnipeg game that you guys are talking about, right?
Yeah,
wow.
Toronto, Winnipeg, Monday, June 7th, or June 9th, pardon me.
June 9th,
wow.
Yeah.
So we're three weeks away from training
settlement.
Camp opening.
Yeah, I need a settlement here, man, because I want to buy my ticket. And like I told the CFL person I spoke to that called me, he gave me who's going to decide whether we're good enough. Not good enough. We're going to be talking to somebody who's in charge of developing this kind of programming for the CFL.ca. And when I talk to him, I'll remind him as I did the other guy that I talked to today. I don't want to say their names because I don't want to. I'll say the same thing. Guys, get this settlement going, man, because I want to buy my airline tickets to go to Winnipeg.
Because
I'm not going to buy them. I'm not going to buy them just to... I'm not that rich.
You know, if you're listening, I'm also waiting for a decision, too. I mean, I'm considering driving to meet John, and, you know, I had kind of made a fairly firm plan to go, but hemming and hawing now, I mean, it's up to them whether or not they want me there.
So both, and this is not directed just at the owners. This is directed at the players as well. Guys, we've been waiting for you since the Grey Cup for you to come back. And when I say that, I mean it sincerely. Almost the moment that the Grey Cup is held up, the rest of us are going, okay, it's been decided for this year. Now what do we do next year? And that, I swear to God and everything that's holy, that's when I decided time to think about next year. So, you know, it's a long wait, my friends. It's a long wait, CFL. It's a long wait, Players Association. Not asking you to give up anything, guys and gals. Just make it happen, please.
Make it happen.
I guess on that note, we can say goodbye. Thanks, guys.
Good night,
You've been
everyone.
Listening to Candid Frank Live. Of course, this is the CFL is the greatest football in the world show number 171. That's right, 171. We went right past 100, you know, we didn't do anything special. Well, I'm going to make sure that when we hit 200, which will probably be sometime in the season, we'll do something special, maybe a cake or something. Usually Dairy Queen in this house. Maybe they'll be a sponsor. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. See you again Mondays and Fridays. That is CFL